Good. All the time. If you'll turn to your neighbor and say, turn. Amen. God is good all the time, and His love is love. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 11 today. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And just a special word of instruction today. You'll notice that we put the announcements at the beginning of the service. At the end of the service, after the benediction, I want to invite you to stay for an extended time of prayer. This is not mandatory, of course, but if you would like to stay in response to God's word today, in response to His message, in response to how God is working in your life today, I would encourage you to stay. If you do decide to step out after the benediction, I pray, I ask you to do it respectfully and quietly today. John chapter 8, starting with verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him. And He sat down to teach them. Do we need to switch it? Okay. Sorry. Technical difficulty. See how that works. John chapter 8. Courts where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, the very act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning to them, "If any one of you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir. No one, Lord," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more." She never knew that things would turn out like they had. She had gotten caught up in an affair with a married man. It started as a friendship, but it quickly grew into something much more than they had ever expected. Both of them were able to keep this relationship secret. They knew the consequences of being exposed. They risked everything. They risked their family, their future, everything to be involved in this forbidden relationship with one another. Was this woman being dragged through the of the religious law, and the Pharisees were ready to bring her before Jesus, before the large crowd that had gathered that day to hear Him teach. And as they brought her before Jesus, this is what they said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? How would you sentence her?" That very day in the temple courts, the leaders, these religious leaders, these supporters, trapped Jesus. For quite a while, Jesus had been posing a threat to them and to their influence. Jesus had been gaining more and more influence, and they had been losing control. To put a stop to Jesus and his growing influence. Actually, their plans were quite evil and quite sinister. They were up. Moses, God's word, man and a woman caught in adultery should be brought together and stand trial. God was the man. Leaders knew the law, they knew the requirements of the law, and they were violating the law of God. They seemed to forget that catching someone in adultery involved two people. This woman being used as a pawn came to Jesus. Instead of immediately answering Jesus' question, Jesus stooped down and he started writing in the dust. And they probably thought, what in the world is he doing? What is he doing? What is he writing on the ground? Some have speculated as to what he was writing. Maybe he was writing the Ten Commandments, which no one can keep completely. Some have speculated that he was writing the names of all these religious leaders there and their sins. We don't know. That would be amazing. But we do know this one thing, that religious leaders were Jesus' silence. Jesus, God in the flesh, taking that day. He knew he was being put to the test. These that they had Jesus right where they wanted him in a situation. What to their question to offend someone? Jesus said, "Yes, the woman needs." Then that. Said that she should not be stoned. They would accuse him of violence. He did urge them to stone her. He would be violating the rules. Always amazed how Jesus turned the table on religious leaders. They were always out to seek to trick him, to trap him, to deceive him. Jesus always had a unique way of turning the tables on these rulers, and they never realized what he, and they never could have imagined what he was going to do. It says that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they continued to demand an answer from Jesus. But Jesus wasn't going to allow himself to be pushed by them. So when he was good and ready, he stood up and he gave them this very simple statement. Let the person who was without sin throw the first stone. And then once again, he stooped down and began writing in the dust again. Obviously, he wanted them to think about what he was saying. Jesus totally blew them away by the answer. First of all, he did recognize that the woman had committed the sin of adultery along with the man. And the penalty and God's law was upholding, it was death. Jesus was upholding the legal penalty of the law. He couldn't be accused of not following God's law, of violating God's law. But secondly, he exposed the hearts of these accusers that day. When the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, when they heard Jesus' response, they immediately knew that they had been caught in their own trap. And so one by one, they began to slip away, starting from the oldest to the youngest, until there was none of this group left. Finally, there was only Jesus and the woman standing in the middle of this crowd that had gathered that day. And the people were probably wondering, what's Jesus going to do? Is he going to condemn her? Is he going to forgive her? Jesus, the only sinless one there that day, the only one who had the right to throw the first stone, didn't do it. The only one who could truly condemn her did not condemn her. Yes, this woman was guilty of the sin of adultery. According to the law, she did deserve death. But on that day, in those temple courts, instead of condemning her, Jesus showed her compassion, real compassion. Instead of focusing on her faults, he focused on forgiveness. Instead of being confronted with death, Jesus offered her real life. And in this incredible encounter that she had with Jesus, she began to experience a love that she had always been longing for, that she had been looking for, that she had never seemed to experience. And that real love was found in Jesus Christ. And she had found that love that day. After all of the religious leaders and the Pharisees had gone, and there was just Jesus and the woman, Jesus stood up again and he said, "Where are your accusers?" "Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. "No, Lord." And then Jesus said to her, "I don't condemn you either. Neither do I condemn you." But there's more here. Jesus just didn't want to free this woman from the Pharisees. More importantly, Jesus wanted to free her from her sin. He wanted to free her from herself and the power of sin over her life. So this is what he said, "Go and sin no more. Go and don't keep on doing what you have been doing. Don't keep living the way that you've been living. Turn your back on what you've been doing, on the affair, on their relationship, on that forbidden relationship. Start fresh. Follow me." You know, the same thing that happened to the woman in the temple courts that day happens to us. While we're still living in the state of sin, before we come to know Jesus, Satan brings us before the Lord. And he accuses us of rebellion and sin in our lives. And he says, "Lord, look at these filthy sinners. They deserve to be condemned to death. Give them what they truly deserve." And according to God's law, according to God's word, according to God's justice, we all deserve death. All of us deserve the death penalty. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Living life our own way instead of God's way, in doing that, we earn death. We deserve death. All of us, this sounds very harsh, but it's the truth. All of us deserve to spend an eternity apart from Jesus, apart from his loving presence. But you know, the Lord loves us, and he doesn't want to see any one of us perish. So we're told in John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus, who is God Almighty, in his loving kindness, doesn't condemn us. He didn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn us. Instead, he forgives us, and he gives us the gift of eternal life. The moment that we turn to Jesus in faith, trusting that he will cleanse us from our sin and forgive us of our sin, from that moment forward, we're set free from the power of sin and death over our lives. Now, even after we become followers of Jesus, when we begin to live in the state of grace, in Jesus' amazing forgiveness, Satan will still bring us before the Lord, our name before the Lord, and he'll accuse us of so many things. You see, his goal is for us to live defeated and desperate lives. He wants us to be gripped by guilt and shame and sin. There's a famous old hymn, and the truth that's pointed out in that hymn. We as believers, all of us are prone to wander away from the Lord. We're prone to get caught up into sin if we don't stay close to Jesus. If we're not careful, the enemy can gain a foothold in our life. And if we allow him a foothold in our life, he'll come in and he'll build a stronghold in our life. An impenetrable stronghold in our life. And there's nothing in all of creation except Jesus who can break down that stronghold in our life. And if that stronghold remains in our life, it will devastate and destroy us. And it will devastate and destroy the ones around us that we love. If we're not careful, we can become dominated once again by sin instead of being controlled by God's Spirit. But God's Word says this: Jesus died to set us free. He died to set us free from the power of sin and the power of death. We read in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says this: so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. I want to ask you today, what's happening in your life? Are you gripped by guilt? Or are you gripped by God's amazing grace? Is your life dominated by sin? Or are you being controlled by God's Spirit? Are you trying to live a good life? But it's just not working out. Or have you been transformed by the awesome power of Jesus Christ? As a follower of Jesus, today if you're caught up in some kind of sin, Jesus is confronting you with that sin. He's putting it in front of your face, and he wants you to deal with it. And I guarantee you, if you don't deal with sin in your life, it's like cancer. It will devastate and destroy you. And you know, sometimes the Lord, because he loves us, he may allow something to happen in our lives where that sin will be exposed. Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be controlled by the sin in our life. Even if we try to run away from Jesus, he's relentless in his pursuit of us. Today, Jesus is calling you, if there's sin in your life, some sin in your life, to turn to him, to turn from your sin. Jesus wants to set you free from the bondage that may be in your life. you may be caught up in today.
Let me ask you this question. Is there anything today in your life that's holding you back from experiencing Him? Jesus wants all of us to have a fresh encounter with Him. He wants us to go to depths that we've never gone to before.
He wants to show us things about Himself that we've never known before. Great and amazing things. But if there is sin in our life, if there's something in our life that we know that is not pleasing to Him, it's going to harm and hinder our relationship with Him. And Jesus wants you to deal with that today. Today, are you overwhelmed by guilt and shame? There are those who constantly live under condemnation. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to consider the source of that condemnation, because Jesus said, you're no longer under the death sentence. You've been set free. So you know that has to be coming from the enemy. Jesus wants to free you from that. Is your life full of fear and worry and anxiety? That can be a stronghold. Do you have strongholds in your life today? You know, in this age that we live in, the age of the internet and the iPhone, there's technology addiction, there's social media addiction, there's pornography addiction, there's addictions that can become powerful strongholds in our lives. Do you have a problem with lust? With looking at others with the wrong kind of eyes? What's taking place in your life today? Today, the Lord is speaking to each one of us. And He wants us to hear us very, He wants us to hear Him very clearly. Are we listening to Him? Just like the woman in the temple courts that day, Jesus is saying to us, He's saying to you and to me, I don't condemn you, I love you. But if there's something in your life that's not right, I'm here to convince you. Don't live that way any longer. Stop doing what you're doing. Own up to what you've been doing. Come clean. I can assure you of this also, that Jesus will not force you to confess. You have to be convinced. We have to be convinced that we need to come before Him openly and honestly to get real with Him and to pour our hearts out to Him. You know, many times in our lives, we confess sins to the Lord, but then we continue to deal with that same sin over and over again. It's like a reoccurring sin in our life. And we thought we gained victory over that sin, but all of a sudden we relapse. We fall back into that same sin, and we feel devastated, we feel defeated, we feel discouraged, we feel disappointed. What's the problem? The problem is this. We still have some kind of connection, some kind of emotional and spiritual tie with that sin. And if we're going to gain victory over that sin, we're not only going to have to confess it, which means to own up to it. Yes, God, I did that, but we're going to have to grieve over it. To grieve over what that sin has done in our lives. And to let the Lord break and cut those ties that sin has had in our life. This is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. He says this, godly sorrow leads to repentance. That's the kind of sorrow God wants His people to have. For God can use sorrow and brokenness in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We'll never regret that kind of sorrow. But sorrow without repentance, sorrow without grieving over what we've done, a true turning from our sin and turning to the Lord, that kind of sorrow results in death. Godly sorrow is more than saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I regret what I've done. God, I'm sorry that I got caught. Godly sorrow is so much more than that. Godly sorrow is realizing and recognizing our sin and the great harm that it's done in our lives, the great harm that it's done in others' lives. Godly sorrow is being broken over it and allowing the Lord to break that stranglehold that it has over our lives. The Lord tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves before me and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God wants to use our church and He wants to use you in greater ways than He has ever done before in the coming days. I believe that we're on the verge of a revival in our church. I believe that we're on the verge of a breakthrough in our church. And today you may be on the verge, on the edge of a breakthrough in your life. But before we can experience a breakthrough, we have to allow the Lord to break us. The Lord needs to break us so that He can mold us and make us and to shape us into the men and women of God that He intends for us to be. And when we experience true brokenness in our lives, then we begin to have a fresh encounter with Jesus and an amazing downpour of His Spirit starts to occur in our lives. When we get right with Jesus, transformation starts to take place in our hearts and our minds and our lives. We begin to experience life in a whole new way. Let me ask you this question. Do you want more for your life? Do you want more for your life in Jesus Christ? We've got to want more. We can't settle. Satan wants us to sit on the sidelines and watch as life passes us by. But Jesus has great plans for us, amazing plans, and He has a mission for every one of us. And there's no one else that can fulfill that mission except you. He has a special mission for you. And quite honestly, Satan wants us to think that we'll never, and I mean never, be free from the strongholds that he has built in our lives. He tries to make us think that he is greater than God. He has always tried to make us think that. I have power. I have authority. I have dominion. Everything that he does, he has to get God's permission for. He is the created and God is the creator. Today, you might feel trapped. You might feel like there's no way out of this situation in your life, the sin that maybe you're caught up in. But Jesus says, look to me, I am the Lord Almighty. Surrender. Give up. Stop trying to handle things on your own. You know what's not working. Give it all to me. Today, do you feel waves of guilt and condemnation washing over you?
Once again, that's the enemy.
Remember what Jesus promises us in Romans chapter 8. He said, I have declared you are not guilty. You are not under the death sentence anymore. I have pardoned you. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. I have set you free because of my blood, because of my sacrifice. You know, God has given us this great gift of guilt. Yes.
God has given us this great gift of guilt.
And it helps us to get back on track with Him when we're really guilty of doing something in our lives. But many times we allow ourselves to be caught in the grips of guilt and condemnation, even when Jesus has already forgiven sin in our life. Sometimes we can't seem to forgive ourselves. Jesus has said, it's forgiven, it's forgotten forever. And we still think about it, and we still live under that condemnation, under that guilt. I want to encourage you, don't let your past control your present and your future. If Jesus has forgiven you of your past, you are free. So I want to challenge you to focus on Jesus and His amazing plans for your life. You know, Satan will take us, or try to take us, on a guilt trip. Don't listen to his lies. Listen to the voice of Jesus, the loving voice of Jesus. Today, Jesus is here. And he's speaking to you, and he's speaking life to you. He's saying, I love you. I don't condemn you. Satan, your enemy, is here to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't let him have influence over your life. Don't let him wreak havoc in your life. Remember, I've come to give you an abundant and an overflowing life. A life that's set apart. A victorious life. Remember, you're my child. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're more than an overcomer. Live free. Live in me. Let's bow our heads.